It's been a rough decade for print media in Boston, with major layoffs at the Globe and Herald. The Boston Phoenix shut down, as did the Improper Bostonian magazine. Yet a small alternative weekly, Dig Boston, hangs on and is marking its 20th anniversary this year. To find out how the publication is getting by, WBUR's Adrian Ma spent some time at the Dig with its editor-in-chief.
If you've never picked up a copy of Dig Boston from one of those plastic sidewalk boxes, here are the basics. It started as a free paper called The Weekly Dig. Nowadays, it's also a website, focused mostly on the city's art scene, news with a muckrakey flavor, and a generous sprinkling of opinion. And like most alt-weeklies, it often features articles that might be too taboo for the mainstream papers. Case in point, editor-in-chief Chris Ferrone's occasional reviews of marijuana smoking devices.
There will be no bong hits in the Herald newsroom, is my point, you know, but we're happy to do it.
Except that I don't like particulate matter around my...
Chiming in there is Jason Pramus, executive editor and a regular columnist for Dig Boston, and not a weed smoker.
But it's not like I'm daddy or anything. It's just that I'm tolerated. You know, like my lack of imbibing is tolerated, which is nice of everybody.
The two are hanging out in Dig's small office space in Charlestown. The walls there are lined with old Dig covers, books on Boston history, some journalism awards, and hanging above it all in bright yellow is the letter W, the logo for the rap group the Wu-Tang Clan.
I noticed that it's pretty much the highest decoration. It's above the award plaques. Is that like an indicator of its importance?
Honestly, you know, in addition to loving the music and being a huge fan, absolutely, without a doubt, Wu-Tang is my chief inspiration. This is a group of artists who actually did things on their own terms, have largely answered to nobody outside of their crew, and have had, you know, unbelievable success.
For the past couple of years, Ferrone, Pramus, and publisher John Loftus have been trying to run the Dig on their own terms. They used to work for the paper, and now they own it. When they bought the publication in 2017, they say it was over $400,000 in debt. The company had trouble paying its writers, staffers, and even the IRS. And while things are better, they're still operating on a shoestring.
Oh my, I gotta get this. Chris Ferrone.
The three partners are the only full-time employees, so each one has to wear a lot of hats. On a recent Tuesday, Ferrone spent the day ping-ponging between job titles. In the morning, he's a reporter, interviewing a Boston reggae artist.
Greg, how's it going? It's Chris from The Dig.
An hour later, he's the editor, nudging writers to finish their stuff.
You get any of those op-eds in yet?
After lunch, he's a sales manager, reviewing ad designs for potential clients.
So you're getting the routine here, that there's no routine? It'd be much easier to just have like a staff writer position like I used to have at the... I always say that my goal is to one day be a staff writer again.
But for now, Ferrone has to think about the finances. Print and digital advertisements only make up about 2/3 of Dig Boston's business. The rest is filled in by a growing list of side hustles. Email marketing, custom printing, a cannabis newsletter called Talking Joints Memo. Diversification has been key to the Dig's survival and their ability to do local journalism.
Everyone's constantly pulling their hair out of their heads over the president when they just don't even, sadly, they don't even know in their own community what's often happening.
On that score, the partners also run an organization called the Boston Institute for Nonprofit Journalism, or BINJ for short. According to its website, BINJ took in roughly $200,000 in donations last year. That money has allowed the Dig to do some deep dives, like reports on the Massachusetts State Police and racial disparities in Boston's liquor license system. And yet, Dig Boston is still trying to figure out how a free publication can survive when ad dollars keep moving online. Local media expert Dan Kennedy says that is what killed the Dig's former competitor, the Boston Phoenix.
You had club ads gone to Facebook. You had pages after pages of classifieds. I want a roommate. We need a bass player. I'm looking for a girlfriend. I mean, all that's gone to Craigslist.
As a result, alt-weeklies around the country have been closing. A decade ago, the Association of Alternative News Media had about 135 members. Today, it has about 100. But Kennedy says Dig Boston, by fundraising through a nonprofit, may be able to stay on the upside of that statistic.
I think that what the Dig has done in essentially having a mind meld with a for-profit paper and a nonprofit is brilliant, because if it works here, it could very well be a model for an alt-weekly market that just continues to shrink.
Speaking of revenue models, the Digs owners are trying something new this year, event partnerships. Instead of just writing about events like the Boston Comedy Festival, they'll also sell tickets through a website called Dig Box Office, taking a cut of each sale. This might strike some folks as a too cozy tie between business and editorial, but Ferrone says every dollar they bring in is another dollar of journalism they can do.
If we don't all come up with solutions like this, if we don't all start doing stuff like this, we're gone. And then what? I'm going to be a journalist with no job and no money and all sorts of ethical credentials? That's crazy.
You can have ideals, but if you don't have money, you don't have a paper. Or, to put it in the words of Ferrone's beloved Wu-Tang Clan, cash rules everything.
Cash rules everything around me. Bring it the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Adrian Ma.
Dollar, dollar bill, yo.